Welcome to the Michael Rivero What Really Happened radio program.
And welcome to our show today. It is Thursday, January 19th, 2023. Sure happy it's Thursday. It's another very, very busy news day. We're going to try and get through as much of the news as we can before we open up the phone lines for your comments, questions, observations, and opinions. Mike is in our control room taking care of business. Before we get into the news here, a short program note. I'm going to be unavailable to do the radio show tomorrow because I have to take Claire over to the hospital in another city for just a follow-up on her stent, you know, just a checkup to make sure everything's working the way it is. And Ryan Dawson will be taking the microphone in my place tomorrow. So do make a point of tuning on in and paying attention to him. All right, let's get into the news here. Obviously, the big news today, a lot of people are talking about Alec Baldwin will face charges in connection with the October 2021 shooting death of cinematographer Hylan Hutchins on the set of the movie Rust. And basically, Alec is looking at two charges of involuntary manslaughter. The armorer, Hannah Gutierrez-Reed, is going to be looking at two counts of involuntary manslaughter. The assistant director, David Halls, has agreed to plead guilty to a charge of negligent use of a deadly weapon, and he's probably going to get just probation there. As far as Alec is concerned, he could be looking at somewhere around 5 years in prison, although, you know, big celebrity star and a lot of political stuff going on. We don't know what's actually going to happen. I worked in Hollywood long enough to know that a lot of the big stars just get away with stuff. It's just one of the perks of being a star, I guess. So we'll see what's going to happen. Getting on to GarageGate, this is getting more and more interesting as time goes on. Apparently, photos from Hunter Biden's laptop revealed that he had access to Joe Biden's Corvette in the garage where these classified documents were found. And, in the case of Donald Trump, they were in a closet. There was a lock. There were actually two locks, one of which was requested by the FBI. In Joe Biden's case, these documents were just in a box, you know, in the garage. And Joe Biden is out there saying, well, that means they were absolutely secure. So earlier today, I went over to our bank and I closed out our safety deposit box, and now I have all of that stuff in the garage, next to my Hyundai, because Joe Biden says that's all the protection that we really need for this kind of material. So anyway, getting on back, these photos on the laptop came from an iPhone camera, and they show Hunter Biden in the driver's seat of his father's 1967 Chevrolet Corvette back in July of 2017. And so he is now connected to these documents. And that's going to prove to be a little bit interesting a little bit further in the show. Now, meanwhile, I want to back up a little bit here. We're talking about the Penn Biden Center over at the University of Pennsylvania. This was the office that Joe Biden maintained after leaving office as vice president, where more of these documents had been found. And if you were around in the during the Watergate scandal, remember Deep Throat was out there saying, just follow the money, follow the money. And right now the House Oversight Committee wants to follow the money that the Penn Biden Center got from China, because they got millions of dollars from China. And now they're trying to find out what that was for. And so Kentucky Representative James Comer demanded the University of Pennsylvania President Mary Elizabeth McGill turn over all documents related to foreign influence at UPenn and the Penn Biden Center. And the deadline for doing so is the 1st of February. So something is going on over there. Now, over at the White House, I almost feel sorry for Karine Jean-Pierre. I don't, but almost. You know, I mean, she wanted the job, and she's stuck with it right now. And the White House press corps, they're starting to get a little aggressive because of the way she's spinning and dodging and trying not to say anything. Karine Jean-Pierre was grilled by one reporter for not answering a question about Joe Biden's classified document scandal. And there was a little bit of a thing where the reporter said, you haven't answered the question. And Karine says, yes, I have. And the reporter said, no, you haven't. And Karine said, yes, I have. I mean, that's how childish it's getting. And at one point, Karine Jean-Pierre snapped at the reporters, it's not your decision to make on what I can and cannot answer. So, yes, by golly, we're going to put these press people in the place. Now, one of the things we've been hearing about the Wilmington House in Delaware is all these people that were going there, and for some reason, the Secret Service wasn't keeping any visitor logs at all. Well, surprise, surprise, it turns out the Secret Service did keep logs of the visitors to all of Joe Biden's private homes. Okay, and they probably came forward with this because nobody was buying this story that there were no visitor logs. In fact, there was a New York Post column said, don't believe for a moment the Secret Service doesn't know who visits Biden's house. It's Congress' job to find on out. So Fox News, and this is a sign of how the legacy media is turning on Biden. Fox News is reporting that the Secret Service does keep the records of who visits the president at all of his private homes and is prepared to turn over the information if requested to do so by Congress. So I imagine that Joe Biden is probably having trouble sleeping right about now. And there's a new figure that has emerged in the middle of all this. They're calling her the mystery woman, and there's been an effort to just scrub this person from the internet. Her name is Kathy Chung. She was Biden's executive assistant for Joe Biden when he was vice president, close associate to Hunter Biden, and apparently gave a treasure trove of intel to Hunter Biden. And that apparently this information was ultimately leaked from his laptop. Now, Hunter Biden was so close to the mystery woman that he recommended Chung to work for his father in the vice president's office while she was working for former Senator Mark Udall. Okay, so now we have a little bit of a sizzle factor going on in there. But Chung was in the vice president's office passing on to Hunter hundreds of the vice president's intelligence briefings, which consisted of open source information, but nonetheless it raises questions about just what was going on in the vice president's office. Now, the other day we were commenting on how the now GOP-controlled House of Representatives is loading up committees with various Republicans, including the House Oversight Committee, which does have the authority to be looking into the GarageGate and the various other scandals. And the White House has basically responded by issuing a statement, you know, saying that, this is all political theater and, you know, you're not really after the truth. This is just payback time for, you know, and just going on and on and on. And White House spokesperson Ian Somes issued a statement condemning the actions of the lawmakers. And the spokesman said, Chairman Comer once said his goal was to ensure the committee's work is credible, yet Republicans are handing the keys of oversight to the most extreme MAGA members of the Republican caucus who promote violent rhetoric and dangerous conspiracy theories like stolen elections and so forth. Frankly, from where I sit, I can smell the fear and panic wafting out of Sodom and the... now, down in Florida, a lot of people have been talking about the 2024 GOP race, and in probably what is the worst-kept political secret, it does look like Ron DeSantis is preparing a campaign to challenge former Trump for the 2024 Republican nomination. And so far, DeSantis has about $150 million in PAC funds left over from his run for the governor, and there's a whole bunch of anti-Trump billionaire donors. The governor clearly is getting ready to challenge the man who is more responsible for putting DeSantis in the governor mansion than any other Republican. Now, at the moment, polls that are being taken still show Trump well ahead of Ron DeSantis, but that 2024 election is a great ways off, and who knows exactly what's going to you know, happened there. And I don't know, maybe this is a distraction to take the heat off of Biden and GarageGate. But all of a sudden, Congressman George Santos is coming under a lot of allegations. And apparently, he is being accused of conning a homeless veteran out of thousands of dollars intended to save the man's dying service dog. The veteran is named Richard Ostoff. He told the local news site Patch that he met Santos, who introduced himself under the alias Anthony DeValder in May of 2016. And we have heard that name before. Now, Ostoff was honorably discharged from the Navy in 2002, was living in a tent on the side of Route 9 in Howell, New Jersey, with his service dog when he met Santos, and apparently Santos took advantage of the situation. Now, in another story, this is from the New York Post, it turns out that George Santos' main transportation is a Nissan Rogue, and apparently it's been ticketed for speeding at least five times since he was elected to office, including four times in school zones. Okay? And apparently he's racked up about $300 in recent fines. Can't we do better than this? Meanwhile, Santos has been called out about another misstatement he said. George Santos claimed that his mother was in the World Trade Center on 9/11, and that's where she died. Records show actually she was down in Brazil and, in point of fact, died several years after September 11, 2001, apparently to cancer. So, again, and really, this is almost too good to be true. This is being reported all over the place, and more pictures are surfacing. Over at the New York Post, they have uncovered a video showing George Santos boasting about performing as a drag queen in Rio de Janeiro. Now, last Thursday, he denied he'd ever done such a thing. The story was beginning to surface there. There were some rather fuzzy pictures that had come on out. Much clearer pictures have now surfaced. In the video, Santos is wearing a black dress and sunglasses, speaking in Portuguese to an interviewer at the Pride Parade in the Rio suburb of Niterói in 2005. So, yeah. And again, it's not the fact that he's gay and drag. It's the fact that he tried to cover it up that raises serious questions about his character. And again, this may all be being fanned up in an effort to try and distract from Hunter Biden and GarageGate. Not going to work. I'm still staying focused on that story because that impacts us all more directly than George Santos, you know, doing something with a feather boa. Now, over in Minneapolis, former police officer Derek Chauvin has filed an appeal regarding, he wants them to throw out his convictions for the murder of George Floyd, and he has basically made the claim that legal and procedural errors prevented him from having a fair trial. Now, Hennepin County Judge Peter Cahill had sentenced Chauvin to 22 and a half years after jurors found him guilty of second-degree murder, third-degree murder, and second-degree manslaughter in the death of Floyd, who was seen pinned to the ground with Derek Chauvin's knee on his neck. The question was raised, though, whether George Floyd was actually dying from a massive drug overdose. A lot of information was withheld from the jury. At least one of the jurors lied to get on the jury panel. And so now they are appealing. And I hope he gets his day in court because that was definitely a kangaroo court that convicted him. Now, over at the World Economic Forum, they're out there nattering and gromishing and, you know, meddling with everything, as Elon Musk has accused them. And a World Economic Forum panelist said that non-governmental organizations must hit back against right-wing groups that weaken public trust in them. Okay, oh, bad, you're weakening trust in the left wing. Well, we're not actually doing any such thing. The left wing is weakening trust in itself by things like this LGBTQ, drag queen story hour in the schools, and especially this epic disaster of the COVID vaccines. Okay, and so they're out there saying, well, we've got to keep people from talking about this. We've got to maintain our credibility and believability. actually, you don't have any of that left. It's gone. You know, that that horse has escaped the barn, that ship has sailed, and so forth and so on here. Now, Paul Craig Roberts came out with a couple of interesting articles, and one of them was headlined, "In My Lifetime, I Have Witnessed the Death of Independent Medicine and Fair Trials." And he's obviously talking about what's been going on with COVID, where the corporate ownership of medical providers is superseding the opinion of the doctors. We now have laws in places like California where the government is now coming on in and deciding your health care rather than you as a patient and the doctor figuring out what is best for your unique case. And so Paul Craig Roberts is out there saying, we're seeing the erosion of medical independence. And medicine in the U.S. today is a price-controlled business. It has been ever since Richard Nixon signed the Health Maintenance Organization Act for his as a favor for his donors over at Kaiser Permanente. And again, it's all about the Benjamins now. It stopped being about caring for the patient, and it became just another profit opportunity. And the cost of medical care in this country has gone up. In fact, we have the most expensive medical care on planet Earth, and its actual quality is ranked down in the 30s. Okay, in fact, at one point, U.S. medical care was ranked below that found in Cuba. I mean, that's how bad it got. Getting into the commercial media, there's growing support among House Republicans for a congressional review of Democratic pressure tactics to suppress speech. From the Democratic senator's attempt to shut down Twitter, to investigating the role of the Democratic Congress in AT&T and Verizon's cancellation of One American News, which is a news channel I really enjoyed having back when we still had cable TV. But they were deplatformed, and apparently it was politically motivated because One American News is far more balanced than what we're seeing over at places like CNN. And so now they're looking into that. Now, both Verizon and AT&T own DirecTV, dropped One American News. AT&T also owns CNN, meaning DirecTV's decision benefited a competing news outlet that they owned. And that decision may come back to haunt them. Now, CNN itself is in trouble. In fact, if you want to know how bad it is, CNN ratings continue to sink as the network boss, Chris Licht, is considering adding a comedian in prime time to try and get viewers back away from Fox News and MSNBC. And, their numbers are really, really down there. In fact, business is so bad, CNN is closing their headquarters in Atlanta. I mean, that's always been their flagship office. We are CNN. It's right here. And I remember there was a SIG rep that was held in Atlanta, and we went right past the CNN building. That is now going away, and CNN is going to be using lower rent offices in other cities. All right, getting into the election fraud, New York City officials have agreed to remove 441,000 ineligible voters from the voter rolls after Judicial Watch found that the liberal-led government refused to clean up the list of voters as required by federal law. This is a major victory for election honesty and fairness. And Tom Fitton is out there saying New York voters will benefit from cleaner voter rolls and more honest elections. Actually, we all benefit from more honest elections. That's why I keep saying this is the most important problem our nation faces. We can't fix any of the other problems until we have honest elections that allow we the people to actually choose the government rather than the government choosing itself and saying, take our word for it, the election was honest, you know, you've got to do what we tell you now. All right, we're going to take a break for commercials. We'll be right back.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. Well, we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country. Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
Biden takes classified documents seriously. I'm Peter Serafine with this week's Liberty Minute and a reminder to use code LIGHTHOUSE at mystore.com to save money on American-made products from American companies. President Biden takes classified documents so seriously that he had at least one in his garage. Just for a minute, let's forget that a former vice president shouldn't have classified materials. Let's ignore the hypocrisy of Biden's statements regarding Trump having classified materials at Mar-a-Lago, where there are Secret Service. What I want to know is, why were attorneys clearing out an office at the UPenn think tank? Lawyers cost hundreds of dollars an hour. Two guys and a truck would have been infinitely cheaper. Were the lawyers there because they expected to find something like this? Maybe the attorneys were there just so that there would be attorney-client privilege in place. The presence of lawyers doing a job that a couple of teenagers could do is intriguing, to say the least. Now that the story is out, I have many questions, but the White House press secretary has refused to answer a single one put to her. Hopefully, the new special counsel will have better luck. Find more news and commentary at liberty-lighthouse.com. Until next time, Sivas Pashem, Parabellum.
For the first time since its inception, RBN is offering a limited opportunity to you, the listener, to join our quest. You will be provided an effective platform on both internet and satellite broadcasting, and also gain the opportunity to both share your creativity with our producers and voice your message with thousands of patriots. Interested? Call 800-724-2719, extension 3, for details.
Born in the city with a silver spoon, great-grandson of the oil tycoon, raised by wolves, thinks he owns the moon, socialist banker to the one-world goons. Davy Rockefeller, chairman of the CFR.
And welcome back to our show here. We're talking about election fraud. And out in California, the 2022 midterms were the first major elections to occur in California after California approved all-mail voting in September of 2021. Under the new system, all registered voters in the state are automatically mailed a ballot for each election cycle. You can still vote in person if you want to, but they're really pushing to have this all done through the mail. But during this first foray into mass mail-in balloting, some 226,000 mail ballots were rejected, and more than 10 million remain unaccounted for, according to a new report by the Public Interest Legal Foundation. Doesn't sound like it's a very reliable system at all. And, of course, Carrie Lake is still out there talking about Maricopa and how some, you know, more than 100,000 ballots down there just, you know, were never counted. And she's still fighting the good fight down there. Now, do you remember during the 2020 election, and there was a lot of talk about evidence of fraud all over the country? It was just massive, okay? And in December of 2020, 1 month after the election, U.S. Attorney General Bill Barr said there was no evidence of widespread voter fraud in the 2020 election. And basically was defying Trump's efforts to find out just what happened. And Barr repeated this claim multiple times since leaving the office as Trump's attorney general. Now we know that Barr was lying. Okay, on Thursday, former Trump advisor Jeffrey Clark joined Steve Bannon on the War Room, and apparently the Center for Renewing America sent out Freedom of Information Act requests to 12 U.S. attorney districts from the 2020 battleground states. And they revealed there was no attempt by the Department of Justice to investigate any of the claims of election fraud. It was a cover-up. Barr was part of this cover-up. There was no investigation, and that's why, you know, oh, there's no evidence because we didn't look, you know. We didn't, you know, never ask a question you don't want the answers to. All right, let's talk about COVID. That one is starting to really unravel. Story coming on out of The Intercept. Apparently, unredacted emails from the National Institutes of Health show a deliberate effort to rule out a potential laboratory origin of COVID. And apparently, Anthony Fauci and Collins took part in a series of email exchanges and telephone calls in which several leading virologists expressed concern that SARS-CoV-2 looked engineered. And the NIH and Fauci came on out and said, you know, absolutely not here, and put out a bunch of position papers that were cited by the corporate media as definitive proof that COVID had come from bats or a wet market or any place but the Wuhan Virology Laboratory, which just happened to be accepting a lot of money from the U.S. government. Now, over in Great Britain, it turns out the National Health Service director has now confirmed that hospitals were lying about the cause of deaths to create the illusion of a COVID pandemic. And what it was is people who came to the hospital with pneumonia or other symptoms, files were simply stamped died of COVID to try and create the numbers necessary to panic people into getting the shots. And they're now saying, yeah, we did that. You know, it was necessary. We had to overcome vaccine hesitancy. And, of course, we remember that magical year without the flu, where everybody said, isn't that amazing? You know, normally there's a flu, surge during this time of year. Didn't happen. Well, you know, in hindsight, it's obvious that cases of ordinary flu were being listed as COVID cases to drive the fear porn. Okay, another story. This went out of Zero Hedge. Presentations to the FDA and CDC Advisory Committee excluded data from Moderna's own clinical study that showed the bivalent boosters may be no better at preventing infections than the previous booster shots. In other words, Moderna is cooking the books here. So, this is wonderful. This is going to make people healthier. And basically, they left out the data that said, no, this really didn't have much of an effect. And the FDA and CDC, now 2 years later, are expressing concerns about the lack of transparency in what was going on. Okay. So, yeah, it's starting to unravel. Now, another study coming out of the CDC, I think they're trying to repair their reputation at this particular point. But according to this study, 49% of children aged 5 to 11 experienced systemic reactions after getting the new COVID booster. Okay, they had situations like fever or diarrhea. And of the 3,259 children in the age group who received the updated Pfizer or Moderna vaccine and were registered in the VSAS system, nearly half experienced a systemic reaction. Not very good. All right, we've got to take the commercials, and we'll be right back.
Truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk,
real people. Because you can handle the truth.
What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company? And it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks.
When pigs fly!
The new EaseOff Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The EaseOff lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive. Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the EaseOff? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my EaseOff?
Go to EaseOff.com, EazeOff.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new EZ4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. EaseOff LLC, Summersville, Missouri, 417-932-6419.
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs.
Support those that support the network. Support Dixie Republic at DixieRepublic.com. Email ProudSouthern123@gmail.com and let them know that RBN sent you.
Extendivite testimonials on Amazon are very informative. Here's just a few. Carrie: great product, and I will continue to use. I've been taking it for over a year now. I'm 60 and feel great. I would highly recommend this product to anyone over the age of 40. Amazon customer: 5 stars. I'm quite happy about it. Extendivite has relieved what appears to be an angina problem, pain in the chest after climbing stairs, and short on breath. I'm quite happy about it. Amazon customer: 5 stars. Great product. I use regularly and I rarely get sick. To get your Extendivite today, go to extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com. Or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Some have maxed out all their credit cards. Some are working 2 jobs and living in cars. Minimum wage won't pay for a roof, won't pay for a drink. If you gotta have proof, just try it yourself, Mr. CEO. See how far $5.15 an hour will go. Take a part-time job at one of your stores. I bet you can't make it here anymore.
And welcome back to our show here. We're talking about COVID and other medical issues here. And over at Steve Kirsch's Substack, he's got an article titled Strokes Are Caused by the COVID Vaccines. And basically goes down all the reasons why there does seem to be an issue there. Needless to say, when I talk to Claire's doctor tomorrow, I'm going to have some very specific questions about, you know, blood clotting in her requiring these stents. So we'll see what's happening there. Meanwhile, there is a new Chinese study showing that more than 4 COVID vaccinations produced a near complete collapse of the immune system in mice. Now, we've been hearing since the beginning of this whole fiasco that the vaccines seem to damage your natural immunity. And this new study from China says all it takes is 4 of these jabs, and your natural immune system is basically reduced to almost nothing, which is a good business model for the medical industrial complex. They destroy your natural immunity, and then every little bug that comes along, you get sick, and you have to go to the doctor, and there's some money, and then you have to go to the pharmacy, and there's some more money, and the pharmacy has to buy more medication from the pharmaceutical companies, and there's a lot more money there. So, anyway, Here in Indiana, our health commissioner was questioned about 165 deaths reported to the vaccine adverse events reporting system that seemed to be linked to the vaccine. And basically all that we got was a no comment on that one here. All right. Now, America First Legal and the state of Texas are partnering with Oklahoma to sue Biden's Department of Health and Human Services for being willing to relinquish our sovereignty to the World Health Organization. Now, as you know, the World Health Organization is trying to come up with this global pandemic treaty that would put them in control of health matters for the entire globe, and people are starting to fight back against that one. Okay, now getting to the international news, there are words coming on out. There's going to be another announcement of another huge weapons shipment to Ukraine, courtesy of you, the U.S. taxpayer. So don't forget, when you file your taxes, you know, put the entire population of Ukraine down as dependents. And, you know, the only people making money off of this are the defense contractors. The U.S. is running out of weapons. In fact, right now, Biden is having to basically take weapons that were stockpiled in Israel and South Korea and ship them over to Ukraine to keep this thing going. But Biden is out there saying, we're going to support Ukraine for as long as it takes or until you all run out of money. And So the defense contractors, they're having happy times here. Raytheon Missiles and Defense got an $84 million contract. And just weeks before that, the Army awarded almost a $500 million contract to Lockheed Martin to replenish the HIMARS launchers, which are being used up rapidly over there in Ukraine. Now, another article by Paul Craig Roberts saying that Washington has resurrected the threat of a nuclear Armageddon. And, of course, Paul Craig Roberts has been around for a while. He remembers the Cuban Missile Crisis, as do I, and, of course, the Cold War, the original Cold War. We came dangerously close to a nuclear exchange during that Cuban Missile Crisis. But we had the advantage that both John F. Kennedy and Nikita Khrushchev were not willing to just roll the dice on a nuclear war, and things kind of backed off. It actually all came down to one commander on a Russian submarine that was, getting ready to fire on a U.S. naval battle group. And under Soviet missile doctrine, you had to have three officers agree to launch the missiles, the captain, the Zampolit, and one other senior officer. And one of them basically said, no, I do not concur. We are not going to fire that missile. Had they fired the missile and attacked the naval fleet, the outcome would have been tragic and very, very different. But now we have this rush to war being driven by money, greed, chest thumping, and the future of humanity, the future of our planet, is now in the hands of whichever leader is the least mentally stable. So take another good look at Joe Biden before you try and get some sleep tonight. Okay. All righty. Now, apparently some cables that were leaked to WikiLeaks show that the United States knew that NATO expansion would trigger a conflict with Russia. And it raises the possibility that this was all intended. You know, we're going to find a way to get to war with Russia. All we got to do is make it look like it's Russia's fault, and we can proceed here. Now, this is getting a little dangerous. The New York Times is now reporting that the U.S. is considering helping Ukraine attack Crimea. Now, up until now, the Biden administration has avoided this due to the possibility of a major response from Russia. Well, that possibility of a major response is still there. And we already know, despite all the money and weapons that have been pouring into Ukraine, they're doing very, very badly. You've got a lot of Ukrainians have defected, gone over to the Russians and said, you know, we want to be with you guys now. Zelensky's inner circle politically is falling apart. And now the U.S. says, well, let's just double our war zone by going into Crimea. It does not make any sense whatsoever. And yes, I think that an invasion of Crimea would escalate the war to dangerous, dangerous levels. Now, so a lot of people are asking just who's doing the fighting in Ukraine? And apparently it turns out, according to this article from the Libertarian Institute, there are hundreds of foreign fighters in Ukraine. Hundreds of them have been killed. Thousands are still in the conflict. And, of course, the idea of these foreign troops, some are being conscripted and sent from other countries. Many of them are mercenaries who are very highly paid to be there. And because they're there in a professional capacity, when things get tough, they basically say, well, thanks for the paycheck, and we're retiring. Getting on back to Zelensky, an article out of the Gateway Pundit, are the Ukrainian political elite starting to eat each other? And apparently, ever since Russia's victory in Soledar, there's some genuine chaos within the halls of power in Kiev. We know that there have been some resignations. Apparently, Ukraine's top three intelligence officials have been assassinated. And, you know, it's getting kind of crazy there. And then there was the helicopter that crashed near a kindergarten that killed off more of the top Kiev officials. Now, they're trying to imply, oh, this was Russia. This was a dastardly plot by those dastardly Russians. Other reports are saying that the helicopter was the victim of a friendly fire incident and was actually shot down by Ukraine's air defense system. Okay. Now, over in Serbia, they're reacting to the European Parliament demanding that Serbia recognize Kosovo as an independent state. This did not get a good reaction from Serbian President Aleksandar Vučić, who basically said it's an example of the West's shameless behavior, thinking that they ruled the world. All right, now a little bit of good news. Oh, we're going to love this one. Down in New Zealand, Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern has announced she will resign and will step down this coming Sunday. She's not going to participate in the upcoming election. Probably a very smart thing to do because her poll numbers are really down there. Remember, this is the lady who locked down New Zealand over a single case of COVID. And really, she's not very popular at all. You know, good friends with the globalists, good friends with Klaus Schwab and George Soros, just not really very well liked by the people of New Zealand. I don't know, maybe the Maori will eat her or something. Now, over in Brazil, things are still unfolding there. And the pretend president, Luiz Inácio Lula da Silva, has dismissed 13 more military officers who were assigned to the National Security Advisor's Office that is responsible for the president's security. He's firing his own security detail. And Lula's security is now going to be in the hands of the federal police force. So Lula is apparently concerned that there may be dissension within the military ranks. And we know when all of this protest started, there were stories about how the army was refusing to engage with the federal police, that they were refusing to disperse the protesters. We're hearing that from, you know, like the civil police and various other groups. They're just saying, yeah, there's a legitimate gripe here with the Brazilian people, and we're not going to be part of a dictatorship. Okay, anyway. All right, getting into the economic news here, another crypto giant, a broker, Genesis Systems, is just days away from bankruptcy after suffering steep losses in the wake of the FTX collapse. The company owes creditors $3 billion, including $900 million to the Winklevoss twins. And so they're looking at a Chapter 11. And I'm starting to think that this whole FTX was set up to crash and discredit crypto, to keep us all enslaved to the ink and paper money being printed. Well, it's not even money, it's currency being put out by the Federal Reserve. Meanwhile, over at the another cryptocurrency platform, BitsLotto, their founder, Anatoly Legutmov, was arrested in Florida on Tuesday after his company allegedly processed more than $700 million in illicit funds, meaning ransomware and drug trafficking schemes. So it's not looking good for that. Now, on yesterday's broadcast of MSNBC's Katie Turr Reports, White House Council of Economic Advisors member Jared Bernstein said now is not the time to talk about spending cuts. Okay, we have to spend what we have to spend. That's just the way it is. But it is time to talk about raising the revenue that is owed to us through increased IRS enforcement to make sure people are paying, especially those in the top 1%, what they own. Now, the problem with that, of course, is research has shown that the Internal Revenue Service is actually targeting poorer people who can't fight back. They can't hire lawyers. They can't defend themselves. That's the ugly reality. Plus, we have to question the use of the word owe. Because if you think about what debt means that, party A loans money or gives something of value to party B, who promises to pay back that obligation with interest somewhere down the road. And, the government has gotten into this habit of simply saying, well, we've decided you owe us this much money. And you really have no say in it. I don't know about you, but I always vote for the candidate who promises to lower taxes, and the taxes go up anyway. So clearly they are operating without the consent of the governed on this particular matter. So now there's talk about ending the IRS and going to a flat tax. And the Republican Party is proposing a bill that would eliminate the need for the Internal Revenue Service and the need to pay income taxes, wanting to replace it with a consumption tax. And, of course, with the Democrats lust for money, they are opposed to it. And Joe Biden is already saying, no, 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 that's never going to happen. That's never going to happen. Now, believe it or not, in the original Constitution of the United States of America, a direct non-apportioned tax was forbidden. And that was the way things ran. In fact, there was one time when the government tried to pass an income tax, it was struck down by the United States Supreme Court. So then they went to the 16th Amendment, and questions remain to this day whether it was actually properly ratified or not. There's a movie on that subject called America from Freedom to Fascism. I should hunt that down and link that to whatreallyhappened.com. But is it anybody out there saying, yes, raise our taxes, raise our taxes, raise, you know, and no, we don't do that, especially when we realize that that money is not being spent back on the American people. Yeah, it's being spent elsewhere. I'll give you a good example. You know, we had this shutdown of the air traffic control system because of a computer problem last week, and now it's come on out that it was known this system had problems going back years. Okay, but the government wasn't really interested in making air travel safer for you. They were too busy bombing people in other countries because, as George Carlin put it, we're good at it. All righty. Now, there is a franchise party supply shop. It's called Party City. I only ever visited one in my life, but I really like the place. They are now filing for bankruptcy protection. I guess people just aren't having the parties they used to have. Now, up in San Francisco, they're still pushing this whole idea of a reparations program, which will provide a lump sum payment of $5 million to each eligible person. Now, California was never a slave state. They were admitted to the Union as a free state. And, a lot of people are concerned that anybody being given $5 million, they're not going to put it back in investment. You know, they're going to go on out and have a party and, just blow it all on fast cars and fast women and slow horses. And it's a concern. It's going to seriously distort the economic news and really not accomplish much of anything. But at this point, the San Francisco Reparations Committee wants to continue the program okay, for 250 years. I mean, that's just how ridiculous it's getting. Now, up until this point, Joe Biden is staying kind of mum on this whole reparations issue because it is becoming so contentious, even among Democrats. And I think San Francisco kind of hoisted with their own petard when they came up with this $5 million payment, because nobody knows where that money is supposed to go come from. You know, how much is the total cost going to be? Nobody seems to know. It sounds really good. You know, we're going to give all these descendants of slaves $5 million. And, well, you can't prove you're a descendant of a slave. Here's your $5 million anyway. We don't know what it's going to cost. And it's kind of typical of the reckless behavior that we have seen coming from the Democrats, the liberals, over the last several years. But then, heck, you know, it's not their own money they're spending. And so they can be forgiven for a certain degree of reckless disregard. Okay, we got to take another break. Commercials, and we'll be right back.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Standing 6'4", weighing 245 pounds of crime-fighting, political science-analyzing brawn, ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Patrick Slattery.
So, Mike, get off this anti-cicada agenda.
I'm a born-again traditional Christian, and my favorite possessions are right here on my nightstand. That would be the King James Bible and my .357 revolver.
I'd rather be ruled by Chinamen than Jews.
Cool it with the anti-Semitic remarks, right?
Just because you steal an election and terminate the republic doesn't mean you terminate the people in the republic, because we're still here.
I'm not taking the vaccine. F*** you, Bill Gates.
There was a way forward still on January 6th. What needed to be done is to object to every single state.
The COVID-19 virus was the setup. The vaccine could very well be the bioweapon.
The Patrick and Jeremy Show. Tuesday at 9 Central and Wednesday at 1 Central.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from Simply Clean Foods, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters.
Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on long-term food storage in the rotating sponsors banners to support RBN.
Simply Clean Foods. Do it today.
We are living in dangerous days, and I am frightened by what you say. It chills right to the core, this talk of holy war.
And welcome back to our show here and getting to immigration and the border. At least 42 counties in Texas now support declaring that there is an invasion going on at the southern border, and they are saying it's time for the state to take action to protect itself in the absence of any enforcement of Title VIII by the federal government. And, you know, more counties are in the process of making similar declarations, and it looks like this is probably going to sweep the entire state. So things may get very exciting down there. Now, New York City Mayor Eric Adams, who's a Democrat, is sending mixed signals because he was visiting a Texas shelter saying that he's going to fight for them to experience the American dream. Sounds like a campaign speech to me. But meanwhile, he has admitted there is no more room to house asylum seekers in New York City. You know, he's dealing with all these Republican governors are sending over thousands and thousands of illegal immigrants. And, well, you know, you declared New York City a sanctuary city, and that's what we're using it for. So, you know, the mayor wants his cake and eat it, too. He wants thousands of millions of illegal immigrants, Democratic voters to come across the border. He just doesn't want to have to deal with them. Classic NIMBY behavior here. Meanwhile, there's another aspect to this invasion across our border, and it's not just the criminal element coming across. It's not just the fentanyl scandal, but apparently there are so many people coming across that border, it is destroying the food crops on the farms right there by the border. The migrants, you know, have absolutely no concern about finding a way around. They just walk right across the fields, killing off, you know, thousands and thousands of food plants. That's going to have a problem with our economy. I mean, we're looking at potential food shortages, and Biden's open border policy is actually literally, you know, crushing available food under the feet of these illegal immigrants. Okay, over in Davos, Senator Kyrsten Sinema was out there talking about a bipartisan coalition that she claims to be forming to create an immigration package that would include amnesty for some illegal immigrants, as well as a green card giveaway measure. I guess if you pick the six correct numbers and the Powerball, you get a green card or something along that line. By the way, you know that huge Powerball prize that was won a couple of weeks ago and all of a sudden it vanished from the news? Turned out an illegal immigrant won that money. Boy, did they make him a citizen fast. All righty. Now, getting into guns and gun rights, it's getting contentious. Gun retailers running honest gun businesses are basically angry at the Supreme Court for slapping down their bid to block New York's crackdown on carrying concealed weapons. The vendors are claiming it violates the Second Amendment, and yes, it does. It's harming their business. Okay, we've got to take a break for station identification. We're going to open up the phone lines, 512-248-8252. We will be right back.
One of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs. For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste by going to rbnhemppaste.com. That's rbnhemppaste.com.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.